Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I'm your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We'll be continuing our studies today going through the book of 1 Thessalonians. We are here in chapter number 4. And we've been looking at verse number 3, which says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication." So our last couple episodes, we looked at the issues of what is the will of God, and looking at how, you know, it's God's will that all men would be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth, and how there's those issues. We looked at how individuals twist the wording of that around to actually not have that same thing of where thinking that individuals, like everyone, is going to have salvation because it's God's will that all men would be saved. And we looked at how, you know, everyone has that opportunity to put their trust in the gospel message, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. And simply putting your trust in that work gives someone their eternal life. That there's the issue of, you know, the justification. And now we're going to shift into the aspect of where the Apostle Paul is talking about the sanctification of the individual. And that's what he says, you know, it's your, the will of God, even your sanctification. Now, we're going to start here with the idea of what is the definition of the word sanctification. Because when we, you know, start there, then we'll have the issue of, you know, understanding what Paul is getting into. So we're going to start here with the definition that comes from Webster's 1828 dictionary. And there's two definitions that are given here with this. The first one is the act of making holy. In an evangelical sense, the act of God's grace by which the affections of men are purified or alienated from sin in the world and exalted to a supreme love to God. And then two verses that are given to go along with that is 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13, and 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. And the second one here is the act of consecrating or of setting apart for a sacred purpose, consecration. Now, when we look at how the scriptures actually look at this, we're going to see that there are two different ways that the scriptures actually talk about the idea of sanctification. That there's going to be a positional sanctification and there's going to be a practical sanctification that comes up. And the idea, when we get into the whole idea of what the scriptures can see with sanctification, is that there's the idea of an individual being set apart for a particular purpose according to the plan of God. And you see how there's the positional piece, and that is going to be something that we have nothing to do with other than the fact that we put our trust in the gospel message for today. And then there's going to be the practical side of things that talks about how, as an individual, using the will of God, when it talks about coming unto the knowledge of the truth, that as a person is taking in the information that's found in God's word rightly divided, that the person's going to be coming closer and closer to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the practical sanctification of the individual. Now, we're going to start here looking at some verses that talk about the positional side of things. And we're going to start here. Let's go over into the book of 1 Corinthians. And we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. here is a starting point with this. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to read, we'll just read the first two verses here. It says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and Sosthenes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Now, we're going to focus on the phrase that Paul uses in this when he says, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints. That there's an issue of these individuals that the Apostle Paul, writing this epistle, is looking at, that there are individuals that have been set apart in Christ Jesus. So they're set apart in the Lord Jesus Christ, and it identifies that they're called to be saints. So chosen to be looked at as being a saint, a sanctified one, looking at the issue of, you know, the individuals who are being set apart for, and it's, you know, set apart for the service that has been laid out by the Apostle Paul. Let's turn over to chapter number 6 here in this same epistle. We're going to see another statement that the Apostle Paul makes related to this here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 6. And we're going to read here verse number 11, which says, and such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Now, previous the verses were talking about some issues of, you know, that, you know, all these different things saying that, you know, this is not who you are now, you know, because you have been justified and sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus, because you've been set apart from all of those different things. But you see how Paul keeps using this issue of that individuals are seen as being sanctified, set apart in the eyes of God. Now let's turn here to chapter number 12. And we're going to see another thing that goes along with this idea of being sanctified from the positional sense. And here in 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, we're going to read here verses 12 and 13, which say, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one whole body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So here the Apostle Paul talking about another thing that happens right with our trusting in the gospel message for today, that we see how he speaks of this issue of an individual being baptized into the body, you know, being identified in the Lord Jesus Christ, and how this aspect, you know, these things that we, you know, one, we don't see them actually occurring, but we see the reality of it through what the scriptures actually say, and how all of these different things related to our positional sanctification, they're all things that we, you know, the only way that we know that this is the reality is by the fact that the Word of God tells us that these things have actually occurred. And we see how this all says. If we go over to Romans chapter number 6, we're going to see how Paul's going to get into a discussion here. And this is where, when you go through the book of Romans, you see how Paul, you know, starts the epistle laying out the case of mankind and how, you know, the conclusion comes to that, you know, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So how, you know, all of mankind is, you know, doesn't meet up to the standards of God. Then he speaks of the justification of man. So how it is that man can actually meet those standards, you know, and that's the issues of, you know, the putting the trust in the gospel message for today. Then he shifts in chapter 6 to start talking about, okay, now that you understand the justification of yourself, now I'm going to start explaining some of these things related to your sanctification with things. And that's why when he begins in verse 1, which says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So he's asking the question about a person, you know, as it says, that, you know, how, you know, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And so many times individuals would just stop the answer with how Paul says in verse 2, God forbid, and not focusing on why it is that it says God forbid, because Paul lays out some reasoning to fully explain why it is that God has forbid that from occurring with things. And it has been laid out in that manner because he's going to say here, verse number 3, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. And the issue being that you see how Paul starts getting into the issue of the fact that we are identified with the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, and how that identity change happens the moment that we put our trust in the gospel message. And so by this occurring, we can see how there's a change in how God looks at an individual, to the point of where, you know, the old man is crucified with him, that, you know, we've been baptized into his death, we've been buried with him by baptism into death, you know, we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, so that way we can be also in the likeness of his resurrection. All of these things talking about who we were, so that way we're no longer seen as who we were, but we're seen as being, you know, not dead, but we're seen as being alive. You know, even though there's a part of us that is seen as being dead, because we see verse 7, for he that is dead is freed from sin. And that's the whole aspect. When we look at this issue of sanctification, we see how what Paul is getting into is how we've been made free. We've been made, we've been set apart from that issue of sin, because sin has been taken care of. There is no more worry about any aspect related to sin that we have to even worry about. And you look at how many individuals, and we talk about this, how individuals get wrapped up in talk about how sin is such a major part of their life, when you see how Paul's describing it here when he says, "For he that is dead is freed from sin." You look at the very next verse, verse 8. "For if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him." And that's the aspect of that. If we've been identified with his death, we've also been identified with his resurrection. And we have that gift of eternal life, and how these things, even though we, you know, don't understand it other than what the Word of God is telling us, we can see how these things are a true reality of who we are and who we are as that sanctified individual in that position that we have. That's why we can see how in 2 Corinthians chapter number 5, and you see how Paul describes this here in verse number 21, "For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." And describing what happened on the cross, that the Lord Jesus Christ, who knew no sin, was made sin. So he was made sin so that way the issue of sin could be taken away. And he was made sin to open up that door so that way when it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, that giving that opportunity for individuals to be able to become righteous in the eyes of God. And that righteousness, you know, that's his righteousness, not ours. And we have access to that righteousness the moment we put our trust in the gospel message for today. And the moment that we do that, we receive his righteousness. And the other aspect that goes along with it is there's a seal that happens. We read this Ephesians chapter 1, and we'll quickly read verses 13 and 14, which says, "In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory." And so the moment it says, we see how it talks about the trusting that occurs. You know, so you hear the word of truth, there's a trusting that occurs, and then go after that trust happens, you know, you see how, you know, it's hearing, trust, belief, and then there's the aspect of being sealed. And the seal is, you know, it's not sealed by the Spirit, it's sealed with the Spirit. So the Spirit is actually the seal. It's the Spirit that's keeping us in this position of being seen. The text we've been looking at here in 2 Corinthians 5, when it says that we might be made the righteousness of God in him, the seal keeps us in that state of being righteous. Because if there was nothing there to keep us in that position, and it was all up to us to keep ourselves in the positional sense, in that state of being righteous, we would have a major problem, because the reality is that we would figure out a way to undo that righteousness. Because our righteousness is as filthy rags in the eyes of God, but we see how what he's accepting is not our righteousness, but he's accepting the righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how we can be seen. That's how we can be, as Paul describes it here, and we'll go over to Ephesians, back to Ephesians chapter 1, but we're going to read when he starts talking about these spiritual blessings that we have here. And he says in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy." So we're seen as being holy, set aside, we're without blame, because, you know, there's no blame that could be put on us when we're seen in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, and that's the thing of where, as we're looking at these things, it's being seen in that identity, you know, holy without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. So we are seen as being accepted in the eyes of God. You know, that's something that we never could have actually said about us at any point in time, that we could have been seen as being accepted. You know, we know how it is that God viewed the Gentiles, you know, in time past, you know, that there's an aspect of how, from God's perspective, we're here in Ephesians. Let's just turn over to chapter number 2 to see how God looked at us. Verse 11, "Wherefore remember that ye, being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world." That's how we were seen. This is who we were prior to the fact of, you know, and when I say we, I'm talking about the Gentiles being seen this way in time past, and time past, you know, being prior to the salvation of the Apostle Paul and the message that's given unto him for this dispensation, that God was dealing with the nation of Israel. The Gentiles had none of the blessings of God, had no hope, and the only way that we now have hope is by what the Lord Jesus Christ accomplished for us on Calvary. Our position is dependent on the fact that we've put our trust in that message. So even though the issue of sin has been taken care of, there's an aspect of that we need to believe the gospel message that's laid out. So the standard of how God looks at if somebody is saved and if they're going to be in the heavenly places with him is all dependent on, you know, if a person has put their trust in the gospel message for today. And so if you have not put your trust in that message, you know, I'm going to ask you to put your trust in the fact that Christ died for your sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Now, next week, we're going to start looking at the aspects of the things of what is being spoken of related to the practical side of our sanctification. So we've been talking about the positional side. Now we're going to talk about the practical side of things. So as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have some audio files of previous messages. We have information on how to join our Sunday service live as it's broadcast on Facebook. Information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option as well. And as always, if you have any questions or comments about anything in our broadcasts, anything you read on our website, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, keep fighting that good fight of faith, preaching this message to this lost and dying world.